This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, we're so glad you guys joined us for the first experience of the new year. We're super, obviously super excited about that. So it's weird. Do you do things that you like and simultaneously dislike at the same time? Right, like going to the gym, for example. Like, nobody really likes it, but you do it anyway. So we take the last Sunday of the year off every year, kind of as a time for our volunteers who serve so much. You guys, most of our volunteers serve every week. So, you know, 51 weeks out of the year, minus vacations or whatever. So we take the last Sunday of the year off to honor our volunteers for everything that they do. I love that, and I also hate it because we don't have church for a couple weeks, and it's just weird, right? So anyway, we're back. All of that just to let you guys know how I feel about it. Everybody good with that? And we'll continue to do it, and I'll continue to complain about it. Cool? So anyway, I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm so glad that we get to kick off the new year together. We're starting a series today called 30,000 Feet. Now, I don't know how your mind works. I don't know how my mind works, but I can explain some of the things that take place. I have a word association brain. Does anybody else work like this? Like when you hear something and it kind of just makes you immediately, for example, Shelly and I, we do these things like where words pop up. Like if we're having a conversation, she'll say something and I'll just start singing a song that has the lyric or that word in the lyric. You know, it's just kind of, I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't obtain it. Jesus, you love us. It's okay. That's another song, right? So what happens when I start thinking about certain ideas or topics is like kind of, again, this natural progression of association. And so we're doing a series called 30,000 Feet because I was thinking about the idea of stewardship, right? How important it is to manage what we have, the things that God has given us, the things, the resources, the time, the talent, the treasure, and the temple that God has given us, and how important it is to manage that. But when I started thinking about stewardship, my mind kind of focused on the word steward, and I was like stewardesses and airplanes and right? And it just kind of, we ended up with, well, we're going to do a series called 30,000 Feet because stewardesses are on airplanes and we should be good stewards of the things that we have, right? So here we are doing a series called 30,000 Feet. But here's another interesting aspect of the 30,000 Feet. You know, y'all know when you get on an airplane, how many of you have never been in an airplane? Anybody never been in an airplane? All right. Most people have been in an airplane. If you haven't, do it. It's fun. Jump out of it. That's even more fun. Like that's where you go. So when you first go into an airplane, it's like this, almost like an out-of-body experience, right? Like you are in an airplane for the first time and you're looking down and you're like, the world looks completely different. And it's weird how the world is really like blocks and squares. It's like the world was made out of Legos. It's incredible. So it's just a great experience because when you have a different perspective, it helps you see things entirely differently, right? And I think for our day-to-day, the things that we go through, just having a different perspective helps us to understand them a little bit better. You see things differently when you can rise above them, right? You see things a lot differently when you can rise above them. So most importantly, what we're going to talk about today is stewardship. Again, kind of the new year. I think everybody, most everybody, unless you're just one of those people who is awesome year-round, which there are a few people like that, right? But the rest of us, like this is kind of where we reset and it's like, okay, I did some good things last year. Let's do more of that. I did some not so good things last year. Let's do less of that. And people are thinking in terms of goals and resolutions and what they want to accomplish for the year. And so as I was thinking about stewardship, I was like, I think there's a better way to frame, because y'all know what we do. Like, we're like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym this many times. I'm going to not eat this. I'm going to diet. I'm going to, you know, have these financial goals. And we just don't generally do very well. I don't know what the success rate is on accomplishing New Year's resolutions, but I think it's real low. If I'm just thinking about it, right? But I think there's a better way. I think there's a way of just, hey, again, I have a different perspective. I see the things that God has given me. I see what it is that he's placed in my hands. I understand that I am responsible for the things that he's given to me. Therefore, I'm going to be a better manager of what it is that he's already given me. And I think that's what stewardship is. I think it would be beneficial to address this from the perspective of managing what we already have now to see the lives that we want to have in the future, right? And it's just different, right? Because the resolution thing is so honky. Maybe that's not wonky. Honky, well, that's offensive. Is everybody offended? I told my son yesterday, our family dynamic is different, right? I was telling my son yesterday, I was like, well, at least I'm a wheat cracker. You know, I mean, that's good. Got a little pigmentation. I embrace it. I just go with it. So let's get back to stewardship. So what we're going to talk about today is again, I kind of alluded to this. We're going to talk about the four T's of stewardship. It's time, talent, treasure, and temple. And everybody's going to miss the last week because nobody wants to be told to take care of their bodies, right? Right. Or maybe it'll be a big Sunday for us. I don't know. I don't have any idea. We're going to do like one of the biggest loser challenges. Those things are really cool. So Shelly and I, when we first got married, we were broke. We were like po-po. So we had to, not po-po was chasing us, but we were poor. Well, the po-po was chasing Shelly one time, but that's a whole nother story. So we had to watch like, you know, whatever was on TV. And this is the time when like all of the biggest loser challenges were on. What was it? Fit to Fat to Fit. What was the swan thing? There was, you remember that? Well, they like, you know, they take somebody who's just, you know, right? Not a 10 and try to make them a 10. I don't know how to say that diplomatically. So maybe we'll do something like that. Anyway, let's talk about our first T in the stewardship is time. Let's talk about time. So there's a song, you've probably heard it. The Rolling Stones did a song. It's Time Is On Our Side. And so that's our point for the day, or title for the day. But it's really like a question mark, because is it, like we say it, like time is on our side, but I don't know that time is on our side. I mean, it is, simultaneously it is not, right? It's like sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. Time, this is what I know about time. I've got three just quick truths about time, things that and I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't heard before. I think most of the time church is not this revelation of new information. It's just reminding you what you already know, so that you can go do what you're supposed to do, right? That's just my opinion about church. Now, if you want to go to a super scholarly church and learn really, really deep things that you're never going to apply to your life, you go do that. But let's talk about things that we can actually do with what we learn, right? Y'all know the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is what you do with what you know. And so let's focus on the wisdom aspect of this. First truth, time is a gift. Time is a gift. Time is a gift. Again, it's something that was given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it, right? There was no merit base, or there was nothing that we put forth to deserve this gift that we have of time. And that's what a gift is, right? Something that you do not earn or deserve or work for or accomplish or achieve, right? So time is a gift. We didn't ask our parents to love each other and create us. I mean, I don't think. My understanding of how this whole thing works, that's not how any of this works. That's not how this stuff works, right? So we were given this gift of life, and the way that that's created, life is constructed of what? Time, right? And so we're given this gift of time, and I think it's really important to understand that this time that we're given, it is a gift from God. Now, what we know about time is that, you know, again, there are things that we can do to determine how much time we have. We're all given. Let's lay out some baseline understandings, some baseline facts about time. We all have 24 hours in a day, right? Every one of us. Some people seem like they have more because they're so stinking productive. It's incredible. And then some people seem like they have less because they're not, right? But we all have 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week. Like, every one of us are allotted the same amount of time in terms of the amount of time that we have in front of us, right? Like, what we deal with, contend with on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. Now, we may have different amounts of time in terms of the macro, like how much time you get to spend on this rock. Like, I don't know what that looks like. I think you can have micro effects on your time, but I don't think we have macro effects on time. Does that make sense? Like, I think if you're healthy and you take care of yourself, maybe you can add a few years. If you're reckless and you do dumb things like most dudes do, and you know that life expectancy is lower for men than it is for women, and I've seen plenty of videos to back up that reason, right? The reason that is because, like, there are warnings generally not for women. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, most of the warning labels you see on products that you purchase are not for the ladies. It's for the guys. This ladder, do not stand on the top step. Watch me, right? It's kind of, that's, so we're having micro effects on the amount of time that we have, But macro effects, like, God is the one who determines how much time that we have. God is the one who ultimately makes those decisions. So that's one of the things that we know about time. It is a gift. We can control some aspects of it, but we cannot control all aspects of it. I've also heard it said that time is the most valuable resource in the entire world, more valuable than money, gold, precious jewels, silver, all of it, right? And here's what's frightening about that is that it is a resource that is not renewable, right? You can't get more. You don't get to somehow or another exchange one thing for more of time. Like, you get what you get, and it's more valuable than any other tangible asset. And so time is, again, it's an asset, it's non-renewable, it's very valuable, and it's a gift from God. So understanding all of that, knowing that kind of this is what we're working with, that we get what we get, God has allotted to us whatever it is that he has allotted to us, that's what makes management and stewardship so important. Like, if you know that you only get what you get, then you better make the most of what it is that you get. You should manage that gift well. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, it says this: teach us to number our days. God, that is so good. Because y'all know what happens. Like, man, we get, a lot of times, there's so many different ways that this plays out. But one of the things that we'll do is we'll just put our head down and we'll work and we'll just kind of do what we have to do, and we go through life and we don't have the enthusiasm for life that maybe we should, because we're unaware that gift, that the gift of time that God has given us, like every single day. And look, I understand, life is just life sometimes, right? Like, I am not going to be your cheerleader, and I'm not going to tell you that every Monday morning is awesome, because it's not. Like, some Monday mornings are just Monday mornings, right? But it's still a gift. And so when we understand that we're numbering our days, that we're aware fully that we've only got so much time on the earth, this is what it leads to. It says this: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I love that the direct connection between the wise decisions that we make is connected directly to our understanding of time being a gift. Like, we've only got so much of it, and if we want to make wise decisions, we want to make good investments of our time, we want to leave a significant impact, a legacy on the world that we're going to leave, then we need to understand that time is a gift, and we better number our days. Now, you know what happens when you're young? You got all the time in the world. And then as you start to get older, when you can say things like, well, a decade ago, and it feels like yesterday, like, you start to realize, like, this, and we heard this all of our lives, and I thought you guys were liars that are older. Like, yeah, the older you get, the faster time goes. And I'm like, that's stupid. It's still tick, 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 right? It doesn't change. Just because you're getting older, the clock doesn't change, but it sure feels like it. Right, I don't know who wound that thing up and made it tick faster, but time flies, man. It's insane. Again, we're kind of upon a new year, and 2022 felt like it was like half a year for me personally. But when you're 15, 16, 17, it's like, oh, is this year ever gonna end? Y'all remember being in school and like your freshman year lasted 6 years? Not, well, hopefully not literally. I mean, kindergarten, the joke is, it was the best 2 years of my life, you know? Anyway, so time is a gift that God has given to us. And if it is a gift that God has given to us, here's what it requires of us. We are personally responsible to manage the gift that he's given us. Nobody else can do it for you, right? Now, I know people will try. People will place demands of you and on your time, but you are personally responsible for how it is that you use your time. And really, more terrifying than that is I believe that we're going to be held accountable to God, by God, for God, on the time that we've used and how we used our time. When we get to the end of our time, God's going to ask us, like, how did you use your time? And we're going to have to give an account to him for how we used the time that he gave us, because it's a gift. So that's the first point. Time is a gift. Everybody got it? Time's a gift. We know it. Now we need to start living like it. Second thing. Again, this is not profound. This is elementary stuff, right? But it's things that I think that we just could be reminded of. Second point, time is limited. Duh, right? No kidding. But we know that. There's not a person in this room that thinks they're immortal. And if you are, I need to know what vitamins you're taking, right? I need to know what got you feeling like you feel that you would think that you're going to live forever. Because sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it to next week. Like, everything, why does everything hurt? Why am I so tired? It was like, ah, right? So we understand our mortality. We understand that there's limitations based on, you know, the whole human experience is not forever. It's only a certain amount of time. So we know that time is limited, but sometimes we don't live like we know that time is limited. We live as if we've got all the time in the world because we focus on things that don't actually matter. If we knew and lived like time was limited, we would be more focused on things that actually matter, right? But instead, we get caught up in and kind of run ourselves into all of these trivial things that have no benefit and are not fruitful. Whereas if we lived like time was limited, we would be doing things that were way more important than what we do. We're going to talk about that more. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So it's limited. You don't get a whole lot of it. It's one of those things that you start to understand it better as you get older, just because, I mean, like, you're coming more and more face-to-face with reality that you've only got so much of it, right? I'm reading a book currently. Somebody got it as a gift. Thank you. Called Halftime. And it's weird because I don't know what the latest numbers are as far as life expectancy and all that stuff. The last I recall, I think it was like 76, 78, something like that. Anybody up to date on studies? Cool. Glad you guys read. That's terrific. As I recall, I think it's something like 78 for men, 80 for women, just national averages. And so I'm 40. And if it's 78 for men, that means I'm somewhere just beyond halftime, right? And it was just a great way to frame it. It's like, okay, so you've lived the first half of your life. That's awesome. Now let's really live the second half of your life and maximize the time because it's limited. You just don't have a whole lot of it. And that's if you're promised that, you're not, right? You don't know, I don't know when it'll all be taken away from us. This is the way it says in the Bible. This is the way it explains it. James chapter 4, verse 14, it says this. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Again, there are no promises for tomorrow. There are no promises that any one of us will be here tomorrow. So you better make the most of the day that you have. And this is what it says. It follows that with, for you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That to me is a very sobering reality, right? Because y'all know what a vapor is. Like, I mean, it's just gone, right? I don't know how you would illustrate a vapor, gone. But that's what it is. It's very short. Now, again, you know, 100 years may seem like a long time to us, but in the grand scheme of things, 100 years is not all that long. And so when we understand that we have lives that are finite and life is, there's the brief nature of life, then we would be very wise to manage what it is that we're given. We're called to be stewards because time is limited. So the truth that the Bible is helping us to see is not just that time is limited and time is uncertain, but also if that's the case, then the management of it is that much more important, right? If it is limited, then the management of it is that much more important. If you want to freak yourself out, how many of you like to do things that kind of scare yourself a little bit? All right, I have a quick story. This is not good, but I felt like just divulging way too much information this morning. So we like pranks. I don't know if anybody else does the prank thing. We do pranks around here. If you don't like that, there's a lot of other churches in Longview. Sorry. You can go to that crusty church that don't prank people, but we're gonna have some fun, and that's just kind of how we live. So one of the things that, if you were here last month, we did a series called Home Alone, and as the decor for the Home Alone series, we had some mannequins on the stage. I don't know if you know this about mannequins or not, but mannequins are freaky when the lights are out. Like, when you walk into a room and it's dark and you see a shadowy figure, I don't care how manly you are. Like, there's something inside of you that just, like, paralyzes. You find out what your response to terror is, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze. So at any rate, we had one set up in a very precarious position behind a curtain. Somebody opened the curtain and literally, I think, may have fractured a knuckle punching the mannequin. How do we get on that? Oh, so we're talking about doing things that scare you. So if you want to be terrified, if you want to have a surreal experience with this vividly vicious truth, then go check out the death clock. Has anybody seen the death clock? So go to death clock. Don't do this if you're sensitive. But if you're not, and you're just like, man, this is... So here's the thing. So you go to deathclock.com. You answer a few questions. Clearly not accurate, right? Like, it's clearly, it's all speculative, and who really knows other than God when it is that your time is up. But what it does is it kind of puts a date, you know, again, hypothetically on you know, how you live, how healthy you are, you know, your outlook and all of that stuff. So it's like, you put all this stuff in, and you're going to die on December 19th, 2043, and it has a countdown. Like, the time is literally counting down. And when you see something like that, man, it adds a whole new level of freak out. And really more than that, because you can do one of two things with that. You can start to freak out and you can be all concerned, and then you can start trying to live like you were dying and ride a bull named Fu Manchu and all that stuff. Or you could realize, man, look at the time that I have left, and I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to maximize the time that I have, because I believe that it is a gift from God, and also it is my responsibility to manage the time that I have. You know, one of the advantages of being aware of our limitations is that we can maximize what it is that we have. When we were kids, I was thinking about the best way to understand this. When we were kids, and like, because I don't know how you grew up. Like I said, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So when we got candy, you better believe I was hoarding. And I think I still have food issues as a result of the way that I told Shelly the other day. I was like, my mom broke me. Like, I can't leave food. I can't leave dinner without clearing my plate because I feel guilty if I do. Anybody else? And I'm like, thanks, Mom. You're the reason I'm fat. Appreciate it. It's like starving children in Africa. Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm not in Africa, okay? Stop making me feel guilty. So we went to dinner Friday night, and like, you know, we're heading to date night, and I'm like, oh, I'm so full. You know, putting more food. So when we were kids and you would get something that you knew was limited, like, for example, man, if I got a pack of candy, like, bro, you ain't getting none of it. Like, and if you ask me for some just because I feel nice, I'm going to give you one. Like, one Skittle. Why? Because it was very valuable to me. It was very precious. It's something that I understood I had a limited amount of, and I was going to take very, very good care of this precious resource that I had. So you get a Skittle if I like you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Don't act like you didn't do it, because I had plenty of times in my life where somebody gave me a Skittle. Hey, can I have some of that? Yes, one Skittle. Thanks. That does one Skittle does nothing for you, right? Like, one Skittle is just irritating. It's frustrating. So when you know how much you have, when you understand that it is a resource that is limited, that is expiring, it just helps you to maximize and be, again, take advantage of what it is that you do have, which kind of leads us to our last idea. So time is a gift. Time is limited, and then the last idea is that time is to be managed. We are to make the most of it. So not only do we do this because we understand that we are accountable to God for the time that we have and how we treat this gift that he's given us, but we also do it. Here's what I love about God, and I think there are so many ways that this plays out. One of the reasons that we manage the time that we have well is to honor God, because we're going to be accountable to him. But it also just so happens that when we do what it is that he wants us to do, it's beneficial for us, right? So many things you see in life and in Scripture, it's like, well, God, if we do what you want us to do, there are blessings that follow in that. There's always blessings in obedience. So when we honor God with our time, we actually see that reflected in our own lives. Like, we get to reap the benefits of that. It's the sowing and reaping principle you hear about in Scripture. So that makes it investing in the right things, that becomes even more paramount, because here's the deal. Like, you and I are investing our time in something. Like, every one of us is investing our time in something. It's just a matter of whether or not we're investing our time in the right things. And you're going to reap what you sow eventually. So you're either going to reap because you invested in the right things, you're going to reap the right things, or you're investing in the wrong things, therefore you're going to reap the wrong things, right? I read a quote this week. If you ever read something and it just kind of punches you in the face, that happened to me. This is really good. Because I don't know, I always kind of assumed this was like a personality thing. Like, I feel hurried so often. Does anybody else feel hurried? Like, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. Cool, glad I'm alone in this one. Thanks, guys, for leaving me hanging. So I feel oftentimes it's just like, I know how much I've got to do, and I know my time frame, and I know when I've got to do what I got to do. And it never fails when you have a plan, other people are going to ask you to do things that throw just a complete wrench in your plan. So I feel hurried very often. And I read this quote this week, and I don't like it, but it's so good because I feel like it's true. It says this: the feeling of being hurried is not usually the result of living a full life and having no time. Because that would be my argument, right? I'm hurried, I'm busy, because I have all of these things that I have to do, that I'm really important. We wouldn't say that. I'm really important, and I have these really important things to do. That's how we would frame it, or that's how we would say it. But this is kind of the rest of the quote. It is, on the contrary, born of a vague fear that we are wasting our life. When we do not do the one thing we ought to do, we have no time for anything else. We are the busiest people in the world. And I set the book on fire after that. When I read it, it's like, this is stupid. Whoever wrote that has no clue what they're talking about. They clearly don't know me because I'm busy, right? I'm busy because I'm doing things that are important and things that matter. And my fear for myself, and maybe you feel this too, is like my hurry is a problem because I'm hurrying doing all the things that just, like, how important is that really? Like, how much does that really matter in the grand scheme of things when I get to the end of my life? And I was so hurt because I don't know about you, but when I'm in a hurry, man, I'm not the kind of person that I want to be. Like, for example, like if I'm driving down the road and I'm in a hurry, I am not your friend. And I want to be your friend, right? But I'm in a hurry. Therefore, I cannot be your friend. So get out of my way. Move. Use your blinker. Drive the speed limit at least. You see what I'm saying? Like, and because I'm in a hurry and I'm doing things that, do they really matter? Is it really that important? Do I have to be there when I have to be there, right? And so because I've invested in things that aren't super, super important, now I'm in a hurry and I'm really missing out on the most important things. I think there's a plural aspect to this too. As a follower of Jesus, like the one thing, the most important thing is obviously investing time in our relationship with God, but it's also investing in the other right things. It's investing in relationships. It's investing in serving. It's investing in community. It's investing in investing, right? Investing in building kind of a financial base so that you're blessed so that you can be a blessing. So it's all of these things that we invest in, but if we don't invest in the right things, what we're going to find is that we're winning at the wrong things. Have you ever had a realization, it's like, I'm really good at something that does not matter? Somebody said no. I'm like, well, I have. Like maybe you're really good at, I don't know, underwater basket weaving. I don't know. Stuff that just doesn't matter all that much. And so what we've got to do is, again, invest in the right things. I have two questions for you that kind of helps us to understand this, to frame this. And again, it puts the personal management aspects of it on us. Here's the first question. What is your one thing? Again, now I think there's a plural aspect of it. I think God is the one thing. God should be the one thing, and that has to be the highest priority in your life, and it should take precedence over every other thing in your life. Now, there are still other important things. I heard a story one time. I don't remember all the details, names, dates, locations, but I remember the principle of the story. I remember it was one of the famous, like, kind of the itinerant preachers in the 1700s, 1800s, one of the Great Awakening Part Two, not Jonathan Edwards, but maybe it was one of the Wesley brothers or somebody like that. And so there was a story that he was in England at some point and he was preaching. He was kind of going to all these different places and he was preaching, and thousands of people would come to these services that he was holding and he was preaching, and just an incredible impact. And so one of the, whoever the king was at the time, the king of England at that point, apparently went and heard and was just, you know, very impressed and influenced by what it was that he was saying. And so he wanted to have him over. I'm sorry, he did have him over. He came to the king, came to the court, was entertained by the king, spent a lot of time there. And the king wanted him to stay later. And this, I guess it was getting late. I don't know what late then was. Like maybe it was 9 o'clock, lights are out. It's like, I'm getting tired, right? Now it's like, if it's not 1 o'clock, what are you doing, right? So the story goes that the king was trying to get him to stay later so they could continue to talk and have these conversations. And whoever it was, I want to say it was one of the Wesley brothers. Look it up. Google it, right? That's the power of technology. So the moral to the story was, so the king's trying to get him to stay later. The king, very prominent, very influential. It was an influencer before influencers were a thing, right? So somebody who was famous, who most people would be like, well, this really important, famous person wants me to spend more time with him, asked me to stay later. And his response was, I'm sorry, I need to leave because I have a time set aside in the morning with the real king that I do not want to interrupt. And he knew that if he spent time staying later with this earthly king, that it would impede on his time that he had devoted to spend with the king in the morning. And I just thought that was an incredible example of somebody who managed their time well. Like, look, you're always going to have opportunities to do things. There will always be, again, people who kind of impose or ask you to spend your time doing things, and maybe even important people. And if you don't know what your one thing is, if you don't know what your couple of things are that are most important to you, you're going to accept all of these invitations, and you're going to be winning at things that just don't matter. That's the first question. What is your one thing or couple of things, right? You know, God obviously comes first. Maybe for you, it's family, it's marriage, it's your relationships with your friends, family, children, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's you want to really focus on building whatever it is that God has put in front of you for this season. Maybe you're single and you want to build a business. I don't know what your situation is. Whatever your one or two or three things are, but you got to cap it at some point, because if you do everything, you do nothing. Right? So put some limitations on that. Do a few things and do those things well. So that's the first question. What is your one thing? But again, one, two, or three. Second question, last question. I don't want to ask this because I have to answer this. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What are the time thieves in your life that are stealing time away from you, that are causing you to win at things that don't matter? And if you really want to know the answer to that question, look at your screen time. I get so irritated every week because I get an alert, and it's on Sunday morning, too. That's when mine comes in. I don't know if that's, like, ubiquitous, if that happens for everybody, or if that's just the way my phone taunts and torments me. I need to turn it off. But I actually kind of need it because it's helpful. But every Sunday morning about 9 o'clock, it's like, hey, you spent this much time on your phone this week. And I'm like, no, I didn't. There ain't no way that that's the truth. And I'm like, does the phone lie? Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So do you want to have an actual clear representation of how it is that you've spent your time? Do you want to find out what the time thieves really are? Then look at, that's a great place to start. And again, when we understand this, we understand time from the aspect of management. If you're a manager at a business and the owner comes up to you and he's like, hey, how much inventory do we have? You're like, I don't know. I have no idea. I hadn't really looked at it. You're probably not going to be the manager much longer, right? If the manager comes up and he's like, hey, how much money did we make last year? How much money did we make last month? How much money did we make last quarter? What was our net? And you're like, I don't know. Hadn't really looked at it. Hadn't paid much attention to it. You're probably not going to be the manager. And so we have this gift that God has given us, this asset that God has given us called time. It's probably a good idea as managers to look at how we spend that time and see what is stealing the time that we should be using to invest in things that actually matter so we can win at the things that matter. Now, does that mean that we don't have downtime and that we don't have hobbies? Absolutely not. I think to recreate is to recreate. I think it is really important to do things that you enjoy, because it gives you more enthusiasms for the things that you must do, right? But that is not what I'm saying. But listen, if your hobby is 5 hours a day, every day of the week, that's not a hobby, that's an addiction. Okay. Oh, you guys are getting sensitive on me, so I'm going to back off. I don't want to lean in too hard first time. Anyway, so what are the time thieves that are stealing time from you and keeping you from winning at what actually matters? As a manager, as a steward, we need to know these things. Now, what you do with it, that's, again, that's you. That's a personal responsibility that you have, that I have, to look at what it is that's affecting us and keeping us from becoming the people that we want to be. So it's not that we don't have hobbies, but it's that we manage excessive tendencies. Because I know most of us have excessive tendencies, like 1 is 10, right? Most of us, like, well, if I'm going to spend 10 minutes playing a video game, that just for however in the world this works, like, it turned into 3 hours. And I'm like, my eyes are crossing and bloodshot, and it's weird. So manage the excessive tendencies and have your downtime, have your hobbies, but be smart. Understand what you got. Understand what you're working with. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, it says this. I promise we're wrapping this thing up. It says this. So then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Again, really interesting that wisdom is connected to the next statement. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is for you to live for him. The will of the Lord is for you to leave a legacy. The will of the Lord is for you to do things that matter. The will of the Lord is for you to maximize the time that he's given you here on the earth. That's what God's will is. And the way that you do that is you make the most of your time, and you don't walk as unwise people who don't know what they're doing with their time, but you walk as wise people who do know what they're doing with their time. And so the takeaway is really simple. Time is a gift from God, and we're called to manage it well. I don't think the Rolling Stones were right. I don't think time is on our side. Time is slipping away. It's fleeting. It's running out. We don't have a whole lot of it, which is great because it gives us a sense of urgency. It helps us to understand that, man, we need to really make purposeful decisions, and we need to live with intentionality when we make the decisions that we make, because we want to know what the will of God is, and we want to reflect that, and we want to be good managers of the time that he's given us. Time is a gift. Time is limited, and time is to be managed. Amen.